You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I hope these messages are not coming across critical towards you. There's not a greater church in America than this church right here. I truly believe that. I've had the joy of crisscrossing this country for at least 45 years preaching, and I'm going to the East Coast so many times yet this year, back and forth, just preaching, and be back always on Wednesday. And everywhere I go, your faith is spoken of. You're good people, you're faithful people, you're giving people, you love people, you care for people, and you're prayer warriors, and I'm so grateful. And I believe every pastor should feel this way. I feel like if revival doesn't come here, it may not come in America. I just as a pastor sense that. And I hope that you feel that way. I hope every pastor feels that way about his church. I just believe a revival can happen. I believe it can happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Tonight we're seeing where a nation goes into bondage. And what are you going to do when this nation, if the Lord tarries and God doesn't send revival, what are you going to do? Again, some of us in this room will perhaps be gone. But if this nation goes into bondage, what are you going to do? Jeremiah tells you what to do when you go into bondage. And I believe whether it's bondage or not, I believe we ought to be doing what he is saying here. I want you to notice with me, just by way of introduction, if you'll back up to chapter 20, and I'd like you to follow with me. In fact, I'll have you read some verses that I make sure that you're staying with me on this thing. In Jeremiah chapter 20, and Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he is weeping for his people. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 20 verse 4, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. They shall fall by the sword, their enemies, and thy eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Stop right there. Don't turn, please. This is where the Jeremiah the prophet is saying, you're going to bondage. If we don't get right, you're going into bondage. He's going to tell him you're going to go for 70 years. Another false prophet's going to come by and say, do not listen to Jeremiah. He's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. But Jeremiah was telling the truth. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 21 and verse number 2. Inquire, I pray thee, this is the king saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. We are experiencing something. We see the prelude to this captivity and judgment. And they said, man of God, we want you to pray. Go to chapter 22, please, in 22, and you're listening so well. And verse number 25, I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, into the hand of those whose face thou fearest, even the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. We know Babylon is always represented a false religion. Genesis 12, Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, and false religion, both the gods and goddess. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about Babylon, a religious society, a religious, what we would call church, a religious woman, the Bible says. And Babylon is going to, in final days, be destroyed. On the seven hills, you look up seven hills, he says, seven hills is going to be destroyed. Well, you look it up in your Wikipedia, your dictionary, your iPad, your phone, your computer. If you write seven hills, it will say it's always known as Rome. Rome is going to be under fire one day, but Rome is first going to have her way. Especially during the tribulation, they're going to war against God. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 25. In chapter 25 and verse number 12, he talks about these 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. You cannot touch God's people without judgment. And he's promising it. Now he says you're going to go through this for how long? 70 years. How long? 70 years. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a hardship. The children of Israel went through 40 years in hard labor, and they were under Pharaoh's domination. But God says it's going to be 70 years. And in that 70 years, what are you going to do? If America continues down this path, like we have the last nearly 4 years, where our president said on Easter Sunday, this is a day dedicated to transvestites. You imagine if he said that on a Muslim holiday of Ramadan? That was blasphemy against our Savior Jesus. When they're advocating always these changes to change a child's physical being from being a boy to being a girl, when he's advertising that boys ought to be able to go in the showers of the girls' locker room, and that's appropriate. That is not appropriate. Thank God, Brother Ferreira, for the Christian school, and more than just rescuing the kids out of bondage, it's Christian education from a God's perspective. I don't know how we can place our kids in that environment. I can't even imagine it that we put ourselves. God's word says, learn not the way of the heathen. And here we have experienced such gross living. More abortions last year than birth, more divorces than marriages. Do you remember that this, please hear me, is the only nation in the world that was established as a Christian nation. And it's the only nation in the world that still, three times the Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation. But we're spitting in the face of a holy God. Pastors, last week, I believe we're spitting at God when we will not keep our churches open. This is such an urgent hour. Our children, our teenagers, our young couples, our young single adults, our middle-aged people, our senior saints, we need more church in 2024 in the summer. So, well, let's just take the summer off. I know it's not a Baptist church, but I know of a Protestant church that they take the entire, and it's a movement, take the entire summer off to give you time with your family. I'll tell you what, you're my family too. I want to be with this family, and I want to worship God, whether it's summer or fall or winter, but you name it. I can't believe that pastors are closing their churches on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Here we get to chapter 29. And in chapter 29, the Bible says that you're carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. You're going to live in a foreign land. Think of this. Babylon had a different language. These people were stolen out of their country in this first deportation and taken to Babylon. And there they were, young couples with children, expectant ladies, elderly people. And they took them and put them in another country. They did not know the language. They did not know the customs. They did not have a house to live. They didn't know anything about food and where it was going to come from. Their entire life was turned upside down. Now, what are you going to do when you are in a place of bondage? What are you going to do if it's not just another country, but what are you going to do when you lose your job? And you're into bondage. What are we going to do when we're still here and we say goodbye to mate? What are you going to do? And it's easy for me to say that because I've not gone through that. But this last year, 13, 14 months now, has taught me I just don't want to live without that lady. She's in the nursery, so I can say this. I tell you what, I've tried always to be a good husband to her, but whatever she wants, I'll go do it. She wants an ice pack in the middle of the night. I'll go get it. She wants whatever it is, and she's lived that way. It's easy for me because I've had a wife that's lived that way for over 50-some years for me. And now this privilege I get, I want to take care of every single need that lady has. I want to do it with joy in my heart. I cannot imagine ever living without her. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I don't know what your bondage, it may not be some foreign power that takes you into another country. It may be great sorrow that entered into your life. I know a man, and now, of course, it's 50 years later. He got married, went to Bible college, his bride went to Bible college. They got married. On the honeymoon, an awful accident, and she was killed on that first day. Killed. Life came to an end. It's not how you plan it. Some people I know, when tragedy strikes, bondage strikes, and we walk out on God, that's the time you need God more than ever. Amen. Your life a derail. What do you do when you go into bondage? What does a nation do? As we are not headed toward, we're in bondage. We're under the judgment hand of God. What do you do? It's so incredible. Chapter 29. The first thing we do is found in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all them that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. What's the first thing we're supposed to do? Verse 5. Three words. Ready? Build ye houses. I want you to build houses. I want you to dwell in them. You're going to be here 70 years. I want you to plant gardens and eat the fruit. What? Why? You bloom. You know the rest of it, don't you? You bloom where you're what? Where you're planted. Life throws you a curveball. You can spend your life from that sorrow, from that disappointment, from that betrayal, that heartache, that captivity, that bondage. Or you can say, I'm going to build a house. Amen. I'm going to root my family. I'm in a foreign land. But God says, what do you do while you're there for 70 years? Isn't it amazing? God said, build your houses. Stability. Amen. Stability. Your anchor. That's such a wonderful mother and dad. And we had a nice house and cost $7,000 and over here in Centerville, which is now Fremont, little one-car garage. And then we went in business and my dad lost it. Not to lose that house, but we lost the business and we went into renting two bedrooms in Stockton, California. Not a two-room house, two bedrooms we rented. Three kids and a mother and dad. My dad rented those bedrooms. We didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have a living room. We didn't have a family room. At Marge Matthews, Marge said, she drove a beautiful 19 brand new 58 Chevy. Marge said now to my mother, Emily, you've been living in my house renting these two rooms. The Nestle salesman is next to you there. This other salesman, he rents a room over there. And she says, but I never see your family eating dinner. Where do you eat? And my mother said, we eat across the street in the morning at that park. I sent Jack down to there's a little house on the corner, one block away. And that was a little grocery store. It was an actual house. And he gets a milk and I put it on the outside ledge of the window. Keeps it cool through the night. And we have breakfast there. And then I make the kids a lunch. And then at night we go over here to Oak Park and we barbecue. She said, you don't have to do that. The house we were living in, renting those two rooms, it's now a very run down, a very difficult place, drug infested. But they're beautiful, big old homes, huge homes, built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There were doctors and lawyers that owned those big homes. And her house was so beautiful. I'll never forget it. And it had a beautiful family room, ornate furniture. And she said, Emily, you can use the kitchen and the dining room. Brother Woodman, in the dining room where my father sat, there was a button under that beautiful piece of carpet. And you'd push it, and previous people, the maid would come. Man, we were living in two rooms, and we had a maid, but there was no maid. It was my mother. But I'd ring that button. It was awesome. You know what you do when your life is unraveling? I'm preaching to myself. You root yourself. Yes, sir. You bloom where you're planted. I just saw a face of one of our members, and life threw that person a curve. My wife and I talk about this person all the time. And I saw another one, and how that these people just keep on going. I wonder how many times there's sorrow and disappointment, loneliness, but they just keep going. It's not like I'm the only one in the world that's ever had a problem. And their problem's greater than any problem I've ever faced. And their situation's greater than mine. But what encouragement they bring to us. You anchor yourself. Hananiah said in chapter 29, verse 28, you think Jeremiah's going to come rescue you? He's not. People ridicule. You think that church is going to help you out? I find that we root ourselves. Look at verse 6. What do you do secondly? You build a strong home. Take you wives. Beget sons. Daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husband. They may bear sons and daughters. That you may be increased there, not diminished. Where's there? Babylon, 70 years. Someone told me years ago, we're not going to have children because we feel like America, this is decades ago, America's going into bondage, America's going to have wars, and we just don't want to bring kids into this society. That's not what God says. Who knows? You might be bringing the Jonathan Edwards, the great flaming preacher of the 1700s. You may be bringing Finney. You may be bringing D.L. Moody. You may be bringing Billy Sunday. You may be bringing a man of God. You may be bringing a Ronald Reagan to the White House. Who knows the child you're going to bear for God that can, you might bring an Adoniram Judson, the first American missionary that went to Burma and preached the gospel and left him a word of God. Oh, he suffered in prisons. And they beat him in prisons, bamboo huts, and they put over 100 people, men and women, in these bamboo, hot, humid, every day over 100, high humidity, and they never allow them to go outside of that little bamboo area and even relieve themselves. That stench, where men and women had to stay in that same stench, and filth, rats would come in there. But he left the Burma Bible. Sorrow after sorrow, and his wife, he'd been working 11 years on his Bible. And one day she came to see him and she had a pillow, and the guard allowed her to have a pillow, but it wasn't a pillow. It was wrapped, the manuscripts She had buried the manuscripts, only manuscripts left, and he worked on those manuscripts, and he'd try to read those manuscripts, and he'd hide them, and he brought them back to her so she could hide them once again. After a while, and he's in jail and in prison, and he comes home to see Anne, and he was released for a while, and he came home to see an emaciated woman dying, and she did die. And then his children began to die as he's given himself to that great country to get the gospel. And then his second wife died, and then his third wife died. But he gave the gospel and left tens of thousands of people to come to know Christ. God says, all right, you're in bondage. Not only build houses, but build strong homes. Kids, you think you're the first generation to have some sorrows? That previous generation of mine, my grandparents and my parents, they faced whether it was World War I or World War II or the stock market crash for 11 years that they went through, my dad and my mother, that era of their life, whether it was the Black Plague, whether it was the Spanish flu that killed more than the wars did, 50 million people were died with that, or whether it be Dust Bowl that came from Mexico up to Canada, through Oklahoma, through Texas, Oklahoma, and all that Midwest and Kansas, and removed the dirt and displaced it. Nothing happened for 11 years. My folks and that generation, they lived through that and brought us out of it and came to 1945 when the war stopped. And then factories began to open again, and houses began to be built again in America for the first time, and cars began to be reproduced again, and churches were growing and moving forward again, and America was on the mend. They had courage. And you build strong homes. Pray with your children. Play with your children. Precept your children. Punish them, discipline them, correct them. Oh my goodness, throw yourself into your family. That's what he says. He says, I want you to build houses, verse 5. I want you to get children, get marriages. He says something interesting. I want you to pray for your city. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city. Not Jerusalem. Seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it. For what? The city. And in peace ye shall have peace. I've written myself a note here. SC, Santa Clara. Would you pray for Santa Clara? Amen. Would you pray for Santa Clara?
Yes, sir.
That this church might pray for our city and reach our city with the gospel. I'm going to be speaking this week with our pastors. What can we do in our 50th year beginning January 1st? Yes, to keep trying to reach this area. Buses are going everywhere. But what can we do? What can we do to reach Santa Clara? To warn Santa Clara that Jesus is coming again. To try to win Santa Clarence to Christ. What can we do with the police department? What can we do for the fire department? What can we do for the first responders? What can we do for our political leaders down there at City Hall? What can we do for our neighbors? What can we do for the poor people of our city, for the rich people of our city? What can we do for the senior citizens of this city? I know one thing we can pray. I know one of the programs I want us to have is all the public schools. And I'm going to ask people to sign up. Preferably husbands and wives, because I don't think it's good for a man to pull up by a school and just have his car parked out there. You know, during COVID, all the city hall was shut down. I'd go over there to the city hall and the doors were locked shut. But there's a bench over there right by the entrance of the doors. And I don't know if they were watching me online or what. And I'd go there and pray at that bench. and pray for our mayor and pray for our city council and pray for our police department. That's something I could do during COVID. I want every public school to be prayed over every week, and not just, you know, bless the food to our bodies, amen type prayer. I mean, pray for the safety of those boys and girls, and pray for the teachers of those schools, and pray for the principal of that school, and pray for the parents of that school. I'm talking about elementary schools and junior high schools and high schools. We've got to do something for this city. That's what God says. When you go for 70 years, build houses and plant gardens. When you go, have marriages and have children. And when you go, pray for your city. Yeah. I'm about done. Verse number 9. He said, I want you to be discerning when you go into bondage, for they will prophesy falsely unto you in my name. They'll do this in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You be very discerning. What they're trying to do in D.C. right now, turn us against one another. New book came out again, The Dangers of Christian White American. That's awful. You know what any dictator always does? Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, they always pit people against one another. Race against race, rich against poor, uneducated against educated, male against female, child against parent. They always pit. You know, one of the things I love of this church, it's like an Acts 2 church, Acts 1 and 2. It's like a Matthew chapter 2 church when Jesus was born. They all came from all these different nationalities and different cities. And Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord. I've just been rejoicing again to think that God's given us a Filipino ministry, and over at the other property tonight, big crowd, Spanish ministry, and a Chinese ministry, and a Brazilian ministry. And did I say Filipino ministry? I think I did. Maybe I did not. And all these ministries. God's given us a bus ministry. I saw those bus kids up there. They just moved my heart. I see the kids coming in. I saw a girl, probably a little 13-year-old girl coming in today. She couldn't even say hello to me. Just, you know, she had a big old, just a sweet, pretty little Caucasian girl. Had a earrings in her nose and just look, she just a strange, distant look on her heart. But I want to tell you something. That girl came to church. And I'm just so grateful that you come to the house of God. You be careful of people to try to draw you away from Christ. Draw you away from the house of God. That's not of God. And they said, well, I don't care what Jeremiah tells you. You don't believe him. I close in verse 15. God's going to judge the God haters. Because I've said, the Lord hath raised us prophets in Babylon. I know that thus saith the Lord, King of hosts, that sitteth upon the throne of David, all the people that dwell in this city, and your brethren that are not gone with you in the captivity. Thus saith the Lord, I will send unto them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, that's like COVID, as diseases. And I will make of them like vile figs that they cannot be eaten. And I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence and will deliver them to be removed from the kingdoms of the earth because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord. I sent unto them my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear them. Hear therefore the word of the Lord. All ye of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. He said, I want you to listen up. He said, I'm going to take care of all this. I'm going to take care of it. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God's going to take care of you, folks. But I'm living in bondage. God will take care of you. And if we're not careful, we get wound up with the bondage. Where God says, go ahead and build some houses.
Good.
and build yourself some vegetable gardens, some fruit trees, and get married and have children and get mates for your children. You're going to be there 70 years. And keep turning to me. Keep listening to me, and you be careful. Be very discerning. Don't listen to a lie. Don't listen to the things that will take you away from me. And by the way, when 70 years are over, I'm going to deal with all this. But you better enjoy the journey and the ride now, because you're going to be living there for about 70 years. Let's stand together, please. Lord, how I love your word. I love these people. I love this text. And sometimes we get overwhelmed at the position we find ourselves where your word says just the opposite. We ought to enjoy the journey. We ought to be grateful for the journey. Lord, nothing's going to touch us but that it's going to help us. Everything's going to be Father filtered that touches me. And so I have to rejoice in the Lord, knowing that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. Young men, don't give up. Don't quit. So America used to be bad. Now, you know, every generation's talked about how bad it is. God's raising you up, boys, to build houses, to get married, to have children, to trust God. If you're here without Christ, would you get saved tonight? Christ is your only hope. He is your only hope. You're battling your marriage. You're battling drugs. You're battling alcohol. You're battling depression. You're battling whatever it might be. Oh, Christ is the answer. Come to Christ tonight. In a moment, the pianist will play, and there'll be men here to deal with men and women with women that show you how to be saved in just a matter of moments. Christ is the answer. Christians, when we just enjoy where we are, say, I have no money. Well, you're probably going to live that way the rest of your life. We've never had enough, but we've always been taken care of. God's always better than me.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.